Hi. Hey, it's been a long time. This is Greg Kelly, the podcast version. All right. A couple of brief admin notes. What the hell does that even mean? I don't have any admin notes. I just have content. No guests today. I just have a couple of quick things I want to say, something I want to show you or play for you, and we'll wrap it up. But number one, the Bible is something I have been neglecting again lately, and my mental health, my sense of peace, my equilibrium, all go out the window. All of it. When I try to do it on my own, when I think I can do it, I'll look at Instagram first. I'll screw around over here first. I'll get to that later. And I haven't been for about a month now. For the longest time, for a good 2-year period, I was reading the Bible as automatically as brushing my teeth. It really was that, I was that religious about it. I mean, every single day. And then you think you know it, you think you got it, you think, okay, I get the gist of this, and no. The Bible is complex. It is on purpose, actually, I'm told. He wants us, God wants us coming back. He wants us close to him. And what is today? May 22nd. So in the morning, I want to resume that precious ritual that did so much for me for, so it was actually longer than 2 years. It was about 3 years. And then, you know, life can get in the way, you know, especially, well, we all have excuses, you know, and, but why make an excuse for something so important? Why avoid it when there's everything to be, I don't want to say gained, but I'll say gained. And the person we wouldn't think about showing up late for work or not doing something our boss told us, yet we will run around foolish lives, growing further and further distant from God. And that's something I don't want to omit from my life. Of course not. It's the most important thing. And I can tell you firsthand, it is real. It is, he is in charge. Jesus is his son. And the Bible is a way to get to know them. And I, should I go into this? I'll tell you, one time I was feeling very good about a project that I was working on in California, television show, and selling it, working with one of the best agents in the world, and everything was clicking. Everything was really, really clicking. And I was getting all kinds of signs that I was going to sell this thing, that things were working out. Things started happening. And I was reading every single day, and it was just kind of remarkable. I took off one day from John F. Kennedy Airport on my way to Los Angeles, and the plane pivoted right over Garden City. Garden City is my hometown. Not only did it pivot over Garden City, it put its wing on the top of the Garden City Hotel and really pivoted around the hotel. Now, what's important about that? Well, I'm a pilot myself. I've taken off out of Kennedy a million times. I never went over Garden City like that. The day before, I was actually in that hotel getting ready for my next round of meetings in California, and I found it so interesting. It was almost like the aircraft was being slingshotted by the top of that Garden City Hotel. There's a white cupola on top, and I just thought it was a very good sign. And I go to work. I have an iPad, and I'm reading, and I'm writing some stuff, and I'm getting ready. 2, 3, whatever hours go by, and I decide to look out the window. And I open up the shade, and it's just the Great Plains. There's nothing out there. And there are a couple of small towns scattered about. One, for whatever reason, not the closest one, but one off in the distance, I noticed. For no particular reason. It was just a town. Nothing special about it. A small town in the middle of a farmland or whatever. I kept looking at it. I'm like, what is that? Why is that? Why? What is going on here? And before it left my field of view, I I was on Delta, and they have these moving maps, right? Right in the where the movie, you can watch movies. You can also go to the map. And it's like an iPad. You can actually zoom in, zoom out. Well, that town was Garden City, Kansas. And it was another great sign of good things to come. There was something about that. Now, look, I know all about Garden City, Kansas. It was mentioned, I believe, in Truman Capote's book, In Cold Blood. I once met somebody from Kansas, and they were from Garden City. There's it's a special place in my heart, even though I've never been there. I'm well aware of that small city in Kansas, and I always have been. Since I was a kid, there were two cities named Garden City, one in New York and one in Kansas. And I just thought that was a fantastic sign. And why would I look at that? Why would I open the window? Garden City, and I really thought I was getting signs from God, right? Maybe that's silly or whatever. So I get to Los Angeles. I'm doing my thing. It feels great. Meetings and people seem to like me and like the show I'm pitching, and everything's really, really flowing. And so I'm reading the Bible one day, and it is the Epistle of Peter. I believe we call it the Epistle of Peter. And there was something in it that I really appreciated or moved me or whatever. And I'm like, what am I reading here? Oh, it's Peter. Peter. And I thought back to a guy I knew in college named Peter, and we keep in touch. We had a terrible argument about 6 weeks earlier about the Central Park Five. And have I told you this story before? This is only the second time I've told it publicly, but I don't think I have. Anyway, I do believe that the Central Park Five are guilty of numerous crimes, and the idea that they were exonerated by DNA evidence is actually erroneous. Some of you may disagree with me on that. However, there's been a lot of fake news about that case. And from the Netflix documentary to the docuseries, I should say, and then the Ken Burns documentary or his daughters and the book, lots and lots of mistakes and lots of things omitted, and there's a real false narrative about that. So I think they're guilty, and my friend Peter did not. We had a heated argument about this. Anyway, after he hung up on me, I believe, and that's fine. I've hung up on lots of people in my life, so nothing unusual about that. My wife said you should apologize to him right away. Like, I did nothing wrong. No, you should just apologize. So I did. I sent him a text message. And then there I am in Los Angeles 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, whatever, and I read this passage from the Bible, and it's in Peter, and I'm like, Peter, that's really... You know, I never heard from my friend. I never heard from Peter again after that. Click, click, my phone goes off. It's a text message from Peter McGowan. Oh, Greg, I'm so sorry about that, and, you know, you're such a good friend. And I was like, wow. Just as I was thinking about it, like, this is kind of awe-inspiring. It is awe-inspiring. It's really wild. And so what happened next? I was working with my executive producer, Maya, and we get to the airport, and we feel pretty good about the progress we've made, and she goes her way, I go mine, we have separate flights home. She's going to the south of North Carolina, I'm going to New York. And then I realize it hits me all at once that I haven't heard from my agent. I haven't heard from anybody, but particularly my agent, because I had left a couple of messages, and I'm like, what the hell? What am I doing? Who have I been fooling here? Myself? I'm in fantasy land. I'm not selling this show. I got a real problem here. Became very depressed. I'm on the plane. And what happened next was I opened the window and I say, well, God, you've got to show me a sign. You know, please show me a sign that you gave me all these signs that I was on the right track. So help me out here. And of course, it doesn't work that way. You can't summon a sign. And I went back about my business. I said, I'll take my thoughts off all this stuff. And I opened a book, and my iPad had a book. It was a memoir of some author, and he's talking about his struggles. The very first line I read was that he was frustrated because his agent had not called him back in weeks. And I just laughed out loud. It was kind of more of a shriek. It was like, it was wild. And it was almost funny that he, God, should just tell me in such a unmistakable way, right in my face, that I'm in charge here. I loved it. I loved it. And I took that for he's going to take care of me. I don't know exactly how this is going to work out, but it's going to work out. Now, of course, to cover yourself, you do a fair amount of worrying anyway, because we're human. But I need not have worried. So then you get what you think you want, and then you think you're good, and you don't need it anymore, and that's no way to be. So a couple of quick things apart from that. I do need to, and I highly recommend it. The Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible is the one you may have heard me speak about before. I actually met Dr. Stanley about 2 months ago in Atlanta. Very kind, gentle man. So much wisdom, and just it was an honor to meet him, and his name has been on my Bible. What the Charles Stanley Bible has is just some essays and some footnotes that I find very, very helpful in decoding some of the language. I have to touch on a couple of other items in the news, if you don't mind. You know, I met with a friend who works in corporate America, junior to mid-level. She happens to be white and happens to be terrified of talking about race in the workplace and will not speak about it, even though everybody else is consumed with it and having a phony and ridiculous and insincere and unproductive conversation about race. I see that the man who confronted Amy Cooper in Central Park has just it's just announced that he'll be hosting his own TV show on Nat Geo. That's something else. He's a bird watcher, right? He's in his late 50s, and now he's going to be on TV. He was a guy who hung around Central Park, a bit of a busybody, getting in people's business and just kind of lurking around there, quite frankly. I've heard numerous reports of his bizarre behavior in the park. So, and I have seen it myself, his own admission. You may have heard of Amy Cooper, the famous Central Park Karen, right? Again, fake news and a false narrative. A false narrative. That man threatened her. He absolutely did, by his own admission. And you can look it up on his Facebook page. He lured her dog away with biscuits, with treats. There's no way, you can't do that. That's like taking somebody's child. And she was understandably terrified. Everybody seems to leave that out, actually, because most people don't even know it. And this guy just got himself a TV show. Barack Obama weighed in on that. Check out my Newsmax show if you want this week. I'll be playing the clips, and it's something that's on my mind a lot. The other thing that we have done and we will do, Joe Biden really wants us to be afraid of each other, to think that white supremacists are everywhere, hyping, distorting. Just, this is not what this country is all about. It's not his job also to make people afraid of each other. I saw Charles Payne. You know who he is on Fox Business. He's fantastic. He happens to be black, and he said he's tired of this guy. What he sees Joe Biden doing is speaking to black children and telling them to be afraid of white people. And I really actually think that's what's happening. He wants us divided. This is the guy who pledged with his entire, the whole soul is in it, uniting this country. Here's something we put together. Here's Joe Biden. You think this is uniting this country? This is disgusting behavior from an American president.
Remember what you saw in Charlottesville 4 years ago on television. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, the KKK, coming out of those fields at night, Virginia, with lighted torches, the veins bulging on their as they were screaming.
We know how deep-rooted racism is in this country.
We saw the Klan marching here in Howell generations ago and again in recent years. They're forced to live in fear for their lives just walking down streets in America. The venom of the haters and their weapons of war, the violence and the words and deeds that stalk our streets, our stores, our schools.
So in my lifetime, American presidents have not talked like this. When they talked about America, it was positive. It was good stuff. Ronald Reagan, who wasn't, you know what? Joe Biden is the 45th president of the United States. Ronald Reagan was the 40th president. I mean, four presidents ago. Five, however you look at it. But Ronald Reagan had no regard for Joe Biden. Listen to this. This is leadership. This is, gosh, the great communicator, but this is what leadership is about. Listen.
Here in this land, we unleash the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth.
I've always believed that this blessed land was set apart in a special way, that some divine plan placed this great continent here between the oceans, to be found by people from every corner of the earth who had a special love for freedom and the courage to uproot themselves, leave homeland and friends to come to a strange land.
It's impossible to capture in words the splendor of this vast continent which God has granted as our portion of his creation. There are no words to express the extraordinary strength and character of this breed of people we call American. We have every right to dream heroic dreams. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look.
Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. What a great, great man. Now, when Joe Biden tries to unify us, he does every now and then. He's angry and yelling about it. So nasty, even when he's trying to be positive. Listen to this.
I know this. It's never, ever been a good bet to bet against America. Never. We just have to remember who we are. We are the United States of America. And there's nothing, nothing we can't do if we do it together.
Isn't that fascinating? I find that fascinating. All right. Now these are my admin notes. I am making progress on my big project. That is basically a body transformation project. It is now in full swing. I took the before pictures. I'm actually doing it, and I'm making progress. I'm just doing like five things, okay? Number one, I don't eat breakfast. Skip breakfast. It's intermittent fasting, I guess. Fancy word. I don't skip. I skip breakfast. That's all I do. Generally speaking, I'm avoiding carbs. I do have some fruit, but I never have bread anymore. I never have sugar, candy, any of that stuff. Just vegetables, protein, chicken, and tuna fish. Probably too much tuna. And what else am I doing? I'm running at least 3 miles in the morning. I am also doing a weight program that was designed by Bill Phillips, the Body for Life guy in Colorado. And so far, it's fantastic. And I'm actually the discipline. I'm going to go into detail about how I'm pulling this off. So far, I'm actually pulling it off. It does mean, however, that I don't have any time for TV shows that everybody else is watching. I don't like to do things, quite frankly, that I can't profit from in some way, financially or spiritually or just... And sitting in front of the television or the iPad watching television is not something that's going to get you or me very far. Although I did watch Shining Girls on Apple TV, which was terrible, boring, made no sense most of the time. I think what I will do is go back to my favorite, The Honeymooners. If you've never experienced The Honeymooners, you can generally find it on YouTube or Star Trek seasons 1, 2, and 3. I don't want to be trapped in the past, though. I need to make a little bit of room for culture. And I'm taking it in all the time on Twitter. Oh, by the way, 100,000 Twitter followers up. Thank you very much, Elon Musk. I've noticed it's plateaued again, but at Greg Kelly USA, at Greg Kelly USA on Twitter. And you can check out the Newsmax show right now. And also, I'm on WABC Radio in the afternoon, 77 WABC Radio. You can stream that as well, get the app and all that stuff. It's free. All the content I put out actually is free, come to think of it. You can watch the Newsmax show on a free app, and it's very easy to... So, all right, in the meantime, I told you about my the spiritual deficit right now with the Bible, but I'm going back I don't want to say in a big way, hopefully in a reliable and consistent way. Life is pretty good. Beautiful wife and two children, and a couple of hiccups here and there, a couple of things I need to straighten out. Maybe more on that later. Okay, thank you. I hope you're good wherever you are, and I so appreciate you taking the time. Many thanks.